away we go. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome in. The Rob Brown Show's on the radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Howdy, y'all. How do you do? My dudes and dudettes, welcome in. What a Monday we have lined up for you today. We are at no shortage of stuff to discuss, debate, and otherwise banter on about. I am Rob Brown. On the other side of the metaphorical glass, this AM, the guy in charge of this and every radio program, or at least the ones that you enjoy, the Alpha and the Omega of the Fan Upstate, the Sultan of Swag, the Professor of Perfection, the Wizard of Wave, Colonel Grudge himself, the great one Lonzo, is in the house today as well. What up, Zo? How we doing?
I'm doing well. You sound a little bit froggy.
I may or may not have enjoyed partaking in a bit of a hockey game on Friday night that I got a little rambunctious.
Wow.
At.
Wow. So it's Sunday and you still don't have a voice.
Shockingly, and this may shock you, it's Monday. As a matter of fact,
I understand how
it's so Monday that Zoe thinks it's Sunday.
Well, anyway, you're so hyped that on Friday that you can't control yourself.
Why would I control myself?
Because
what fun is that?
Because you have a day job
that requires
your voice. I mean, you know, you're almost 40.
You can hear me.
You need to learn how to control that.
You can hear me. Hear what I'm saying.
If I have to turn you up, there's a problem.
Did you have to turn me up?
Not yet, but it could progressively get worse.
It very much could.
You could be Ed Orgeron before the end of the show.
Oh, no! Disaster! What a bad idea!
That's my new favorite clip. I like that one a lot.
Apparently, that described you Friday.
No, I was. Listen, it was opening night at the Well. The bits are back, baby. Little upstate hockey. It's opening. You know, you only get one opening night a year.
Do you have a microphone?
Oh, and I used it.
Okay, but so why do you have to lose your voice if you have a microphone?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the third period.
Come on, dude. Your regular voice is most people's yelling. So, I mean...
Yes, but my regular voice is not get 6,000 people jazzed about the third period.
I beg to differ.
I mean...
I know you think you got to bring a little bit of something extra. So it was just because it's the first game, you got to get yourself in mid-season form.
Yes. There's no warm up here. There's no feather the accelerator. It's just pedal to metal and let's rip out of the gate.
I don't want you to rip scars off of your vocal box because of, you know, just going too hard the first. I mean, it's almost like you were singing AC/DC or something.
It's not far off.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. I win. Google me.
It's not far off. We got a lot to get to. Can we circle back around and acknowledge that maybe it wasn't a Bryce Young problem? Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it's just the team's bad. Because it wasn't a Bryce Young problem. The team's bad. You know that thing I said a lot of the times.
Andy still did better than Bryce, though.
Yeah, for sure. 96 yards, 2 interceptions, no touchdowns.
What did Bryce do?
Bryce couldn't have done that. He threw for -4 yards, which is...
Yeah, so...
I don't think... I've been doing this a long time.
There are no interceptions there, but it's still -4.
I've been doing this a long time, and I sincerely do not think that I have seen a negative passing yardage stat line before. But again, the team's real bad. Like, real, real bad. He was 2 of 2, for the record. Just 2 of 2 with a pick and -4 yards. I don't... Whew. But again, my point here is, maybe let's acknowledge it's a little bit more than just Bryce Young's bad. Maybe it's a little bit more than just the new guy. Shall we? We'll come back to that. We got to get some...
Do we have to come back to that? Can we just like ignore the Panthers completely?
No.
For the rest of the season?
No.
If this is what we're going to get, and could it be worse?
No.
Certified hater mode.
No, we can't. We're not going to. It's going to get worse.
Have you checked on Rashad's well-being? Make sure
I have
good?
Not. Here's what I'll say. I'm not saying he didn't. I've got on Rashad's YouTube channel, the Panther Nation podcast, I have got the notifications on my phone turned on. So anytime Rashad goes live, I get a little ping.
Certified hater mode.
To my phone that says Rashad and Dave are live talking Carolina Panthers. And I at least try to check in every time just to see, you know, what's going on. And I got the notification as the game was firing up. Live reactions to Panthers Commanders with Panther Nation Podcast. And I was like, bang, let's check in. And I watched for a little while, and it was like, the expectations are low. This is a good team, and Jaden Daniels is a dog. If I'd have told you before the game, Jaden Daniels was going to throw two passes, run for a 50 spot, and then have to check out because of a rib injury, and Marcus Mariota would be running the offense, I think a lot of you would have hoped, still don't know that we're going to win the game because, again, the team's bad. But you at least think, compete, yeah? Like, be competitive. Even with the injuries, you got to be able to compete. And instead, what happened is that the Panthers got roasted, toasted, and burnt to a crisp by Marcus Mariota. Yeah, that one. That's the guy. Remember that guy that was the quarterback in Atlanta and lost his job to Desmond Ridder and then just quit, just left? One?
Wow. Already.
That's early, six minutes.
I know.
Woof.
Almost seven. I do recall like a year or so ago where I didn't like the defense and you and Rashad were, oh, no. Evero, he's going to get to Sunday. And the defense is bad. I mean, I know the team is bad, but the defense is really, really bad.
Yeah, but we had the conversation last week, remember? Like, we had J.C. Horn last week, and J.C. Horn said, we know that we're not upholding our end of the bargain. The last couple of years, the only reason this team has been even kind of worth watching was that the defense was good. And this year, the defense is flat out booty cheeks. Not like kind of. Like sure. Now, again, there's injuries everywhere. Shaq's out. Derrick Brown's out. Like this team is, I believe, either the second or third most injured team in the NFL.
Is the kicking game any good?
I mean, it's fine.
Okay. Well, I'm trying to find a positive here.
Oh, there's not one. There's not one. Let me be very clear.
I'm guessing the kicker's decent. I mean, I think we can go with that.
Who's the kicker?
The kicker.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
He doesn't get a lot of opportunities. So, I mean, when he does get out there, I'm sure he kicks well.
Yeah. So he kicks so well.
All right. Punter.
Who's the – oh, we do know. It's friend of the show, Johnny Hecker.
That's right.
Yes.
The punter, Johnny Hecker's really good.
Best in the NFL at giving the ball to the other team for free. Best in the game, baby.
I bet he's ranked up there in yards because they punt a lot.
Oh, man. Just hot garbage. It's not great in Charlotte. And the only thing I need to hear right now is, hey, maybe, could be wrong, but I'm not. Maybe it never was a Bryce Young problem. Maybe the team is just absolute and entirely.
I don't get, but somewhat admire the fact that how you still hang on to the Bryce Young thing. The whole team stinks.
That's what I'm saying.
But you know, you put a good quarterback or a great quarterback on a stinking team, they at least look decent. He does not. -4.
Listen.
-4, Rob.
All I'm saying here is this. I am not arguing that Bryce Young is some Pro Bowler being held back by some strange force. No. Stop saying what you think I'm saying and listen to what I'm saying.
You do that to me all the time.
Again. No. I am not arguing that if BY goes back to QB1, he's suddenly going to the Pro Bowl. What I'm saying is, for those of you that have been going, it's Bryce Young's fault, maybe evaluate a little bit. Maybe look at what you saw yesterday, because Andy Dalton, the guy that proved that it was Bryce Young's fault, stank the building up in Landover, Maryland. We're going to come back to that later in the show. I think
we talked about it enough right there.
We're coming back to it. It is an inevitability for sure. Hey, Gamecocks.
Impressive.
Went on the road, did more than you were supposed to do, all right?
And there's some negatives. So there's some things to work on.
There's things to work on.
Offensively, for sure, there's some things to work on.
There are, and yet also, I would point out that defensively, you made their offensive coordinator flat out quit.
Oh, I thought he got fired.
Well, he did get fired, but I don't think he was. I don't think there was. I think he knew. I suspect it was one of those moments that Brent Venables went down to the OC's office and he like opened the door and he's ready for that. Hey, man, listen, I need to have a tough conversation with you. Will you go ahead and grab a chair? And when he swung the door open, the OC was just standing there with the cardboard box with all his belongings in it already. Like, yep, go ahead, Brent. See, I gotcha.
See, that's not how that works. He knows not to walk into that office because the holdback coach is going to be holding Brent back from coming at him. So the holdback coach is sent to the offensive coordinator's office and said, don't go in there. Dude, just go ahead. Just go ahead and get ready to go. You don't want to go in there. Brent doesn't seem like the guy who calmly lets someone go.
I think...
very, very disappointed that usually when a team gets beat by South Carolina like this, the head coach gets fired.
You are locked into a long contract with Brent Venables. He's not going anywhere right now. On top of that, I think that there are still some schools out there that are subscribed to, and I think it's fair. This is not me knocking that. There are still some schools out there that subscribe to the, you know, you get X amount of years to prove that you're the guy or not. You get X amount of years to prove that you're the man. And Brent Venables came there in 2022. So this is his technically coach 22 and 23. This is his third year, which is ordinarily when the evaluation process begins. He is 20 and 13 to this point. That's a 60% winning percentage right now. They're not going to move on from Brent Venables at this point, but I think we also have to point out that as hell yeah, as the Carolina defense looked in that game, like that pick six, the second pick six of the first three possessions was one of the ugliest damn throws I've ever seen in my life from a D1 quarterback. I mean, it was atrocious. Absolutely atrocious. And that just kind of is Oklahoma right now. I want to be both the buzzkill and the big fan at the same time. All right. The buzzkill is this. Oklahoma stinks. They're just bad. They're just a bad football team. What I also want to say, though, as we point out that Oklahoma stinks and they are a bad football team, is do not today, Gamecock fans, as will inevitably happen at some point. Somebody is going to jump on a microphone today. Somebody is going to come at you today. And somebody is going to say to you today, that's not that impressive of a win. Oklahoma stinks. They're real bad. They're not that good. Look, they do stink. But you went into their house a week after they got embarrassed by their rivals in Texas, who, by the way, turns out Texas ain't as good as we thought. Texas ain't as good as y'all thought they were either.
No. Here's the thing. Who is number one? We actually have some parity. Who is dominant? They look like Texas was dominant. They're not. You can go, well, it's Oregon. Yeah, Oregon benefited and moved up to number one. Who's number one?
It is Oregon, and I'm saying that both in terms of that's who's number one on the AP poll, as well as right now they look like the best football team.
Do they?
Yeah, they do. In my ever so humble estimation, yeah.
Okay, that means Ohio State's 1B.
I would say Ohio State's in that mix. I would say Georgia's in
that
mix. Because
Rob, if they play that game 10 times on a neutral field.
Shockingly, they don't do it that way.
Yeah, but that's all.
Which is why Vandy beat Bama. They have identical records, and yet Vandy's 10 spots below Alabama. But I would say right now, as the AP poll goes, the only issue I have about it right now. Actually, I take that back. I was gonna say that Miami is 6 at 7-0, but Miami got bailed out again. ACC, you're not even hiding it anymore. You're just doing it in the open. Oh, yep. That replays against Louisville. Why? Because Miami's 6-0, and we need them 7-0. And now it's horse hockey, bud. Horse hockey. Oregon 1, Georgia 2, Penn State 3. They were on the bye this week. Ohio State 4. They were on the bye this week. Texas falls from 1 to 5, a spot ahead of Miami at 6. University of Tennessee at 7. LSU is 8. Clemson is at number 9, up one spot. They jump undefeated Iowa State. Granted, Iowa State was in a scrap with UCF this week, and a scrap that they were able to save in the last dying gasps of the game. BYU 11, Notre Dame 12. Indiana. Indy freaking Anna.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. I win. Google me.
56-7. Embarrass Matt Rhule this weekend. Y'all, Nebraska's good. This isn't like a ha-ha, what a fun story anymore. It's a good football team. A&M moves to 14, or I should say stays at 14. Bama drops 8 spots after the loss to Tennessee down to 15. Kansas State at 6-1 is up a spot to 16. The Blue Turf Smurfs of Boise State at number 17. They fall 2 spots, though they were on the bye. Ole Miss on the bye, number 18. Pitt up a spot despite being on the bye to 19. Illinois gets the win over Michigan, up 2 spots to 20. Mizzou wins by the skin of their teeth, which is weird because teeth don't have skin. Mizzou does win, but they also fall 2 spots down to 21. SMU gets the dub over Stanford, but falls a spot nonetheless down to 22. At 23 and 24, Army and Navy, please, for the sake of doing the funniest possible thing, please beat Notre Dame, both of you. Please, both of you beat Notre Dame. Because an undefeated AAC title game would be incredible. And Vandy, with a win over Ball State, moves into the top 25 for the first time in 11 years. We're going to talk a lot of college football on the show today. We're going to talk some NFL on the show today. At 8:40, John Blau of the Post and Courier will join us here on the show to talk Clemson ball. And at 9 o'clock this morning, ESPN's Marty Smith going to join us, and he will join us live on the stream. We'll talk to Marty Smith about college football. I am going to risk my own well-being, because if you didn't watch College Game Day this weekend, Marty Smith, Ryan McGee, who are honestly my favorite weekend show, and I do a weekend show, all right? But they're the best. They did an entire feature on fall weddings. An entire feature on fall weddings. And I am going to ask if I committed the ultimate sin of college football by having a fall wedding. I am going to ask the man to his face to address me to my face and tell me if I have fallen short of the glory of football. We'll talk about that with Marty Smith from ESPN coming up at 9 a.m. Let's run to a break. We are football heavy. Other stuff to get into. World Series is set. It is a battle of the corporations. This is like this is like what would have happened if DX never existed. Just corporations. The Yankees, the Dodgers, they start up on Friday. We'll talk about how those two teams got here. WNBA title won last night at home by the New York Liberty in an overtime thriller. Russell Wilson back as a starter for the Steelers, and they trounce the New York Jets last night. 37-15? I don't even remember. I went to bed. I woke up this morning and read it, and I'm not going to lie. We're breaking it all down this morning on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob, the great one, Lonzo, with you, reacting to all things football from the weekend. South Carolina goes out to Norman, Oklahoma, taking on a Boomer Sooner team that was reeling after they got embarrassed last weekend by Texas. And South Carolina hands them back-to-back embarrassments. And I think, for me anyway, the story right now about the Gamecocks of South Carolina has been that twice they have been up against it. Twice they have had to go on the road to an opponent ranked inside the top 25, coming off of an embarrassment. Twice they have had the schedule stacked against them. And while they did not win both games, they went to Alabama. And by the way, before anybody tries to denigrate that game against Alabama by going, wait a minute, Rob, they lost again the next weekend. As somebody who has broadcasted in Alabama footprints my entire career, that Tennessee rivalry is every bit as dirty down and nasty as the Auburn rivalry. Like, the Auburn rivalry gets the press. Alabama-Tennessee is a filthy rivalry, dude. They do not like each other. Not even a little bit. Nick Saban said on game day that he had an easier time getting his guys up and hyped for the Tennessee rivalry than he did the Iron Bowl. And while there is a little part of me that's like, that's just Nick taking a shot at Auburn fans because they gave him a microphone, why not? As somebody who's been around that rivalry, that Tennessee-Alabama rivalry for a long time, I broadcast in doubt of the Florida Panhandle. The Florida Panhandle, we refer to it affectionately as Lower Alabama. We call where I grew up L.A., Lower Alabama. The Tennessee-Alabama rivalry is as good as any rivalry you'll find anywhere when it comes to the fan interaction and how much these teams hate each other. It just doesn't get the publicity for one reason or the next. That was a, by the way, Jalen Milroe. What the hell happened to Jalen Milroe? Jalen Milroe is college Jalen Hurts right now. Like, he had it and then he don't had it no more. I don't know what's going on with Jalen Milroe. It's a bad loss for Alabama in that they lost against Vanderbilt. And obviously the narrative right now is that Kalen DeBoer's squad is falling apart before our very eyes. But I caution you in writing them off as of right now. That Tennessee rivalry is a nasty one. But I think today there's the potential for the narrative around South Carolina to be written thusly. Well, yeah, you were in a fight, but you lost to a bad Alabama team. In fact, I was driving to work this morning, and I was listening to SiriusXM. I was listening to their overnight college football program. And the two hosts on the overnight college football program on SiriusXM this morning were like, oh, we all know that Alabama's a bad football team now, right? Like, we all see it. It's not a bad team. They had a bad loss. That loss at Vanderbilt is an atrocious loss. I'm not trying to sugarcoat that at all. It's a bad loss. But the loss to Tennessee on the road at Tennessee in good old Rocky Top. Woo! I don't have full woo in me right now. It's not there.
Yeah, I'm not playing Ric Flair for that.
Woo! That's all I got for right now. It's not an atrocious. It's not a loss.
I don't think Ric Flair's jumped to that team yet, has he?
Tennessee? Yeah. I actually think he has done something with Tennessee.
He's been a fan of just about every team. So.
Now I got to find out if there's got to be Ric Flair in a Tennessee jersey somewhere. Ric Flair will wear any jersey if you invite him to the stadium for sure. That Tennessee loss, that UT loss, is not the worst loss for Alabama. So South Carolina, you are going to hear people denigrate your loss on the road at Alabama because of Alabama's loss on the road at Tennessee. Don't let them do that, all right? Don't let them do that. It's a good Tennessee team. I said coming into the year, I believe in the hype, Paul. I believe in Tennessee. That's a good team. Nico's a good quarterback. They got talent on the outside around Squirrel White. Like, that's a good team. Don't denigrate the loss or the loss to Alabama because of Alabama's loss to Tennessee. You went in there, you punched a good team in the mouth, you came up a tick short. And then you go out to Oklahoma. I heard the same thing. I heard the same thing this morning. Oh, you know, now we know Oklahoma stinks. Don't get me wrong. Alabama does stink. Alabama absolutely stinks. Oklahoma.
Narrative's been around forever. Well, if you got beat by South Carolina, it's just proof you're not a good team. It's like, oh, okay. Whatever, dude. Did you watch that game?
Oh, no, I did. Oklahoma stinks.
South Carolina looked pretty good.
South Carolina did look good.
When have they looked bad?
Let me see.
One bad game.
Two bad games, but not the point. Not the point. Here's what I'm saying. You're going to hear today that the 35-9 win over Oklahoma isn't as impressive as it was made to be. You're going to hear that it wasn't as impressive as it's made to be because now we know that Oklahoma stinks. And Oklahoma's not good. Let's be clear. They were overhyped coming into the year. I thought they were overhyped coming into the year. I didn't understand what the love was about. With all due respect to Jackson Arnold, who was 50%, 18 of 36, 225, and a touch. Both of the picks were credited to Michael Hawkins Jr. Jackson Arnold's an okay quarter. Like, he's okay. Like, he's okay. There's nothing stellar, nothing spectacular. He's very okay. All right? He has had one 200-yard game, and it was against South Carolina. And the only reason he got to 200 yards was because the Gamecocks were up 21-0 in the first quarter. Oklahoma could not run the ball anymore. They ended with 53 rushing yards. They couldn't run the ball anymore. So don't let them denigrate your team because Oklahoma's team isn't good, and they're not. You went in there, you imposed your will defensively right out of the gate, and you made, and this is absolutely a compliment to the football team, you made Oklahoma change their play style. You made Oklahoma play football in a way that they don't want to play. You made them one-dimensional. You said, you guys are going to have to throw to catch up with us from behind. And they weren't able to do it. Now, Lonzo also pointed out that there are things that can be done better for South Carolina. Running the football is one of them. Rocket Sanders had 33 yards on 15 carries. That is slightly over 2 yards a carry from your number one running back.
Yeah, like 2 yards. I don't know.
That's not good.
Yeah.
That's not good. When you are sitting on a 3-tutty lead, when you are sitting on a, 32-3 at halftime? When you're sitting on a lead that is 20 points or better, I need you to be able, you got to be able to run the football. Now, obviously, context matters. Oklahoma started stacking the box. Why wouldn't you? You knew at that point, South Carolina's going to run the ball to kill as much clock as they can. But You I can't have you end the game. And by the way, there were 13 negative running yards attributed at the end of the year to Davis Bevel. But I can't have you end a game where you're up 32-3 at the half with 76 rushing yards. Even if Oklahoma's stacking the box, the run game's got to get better. Lenora Sellers, 16-24, 175 at a touch. By the way, that touchdown pass, spectacular. I mean, just a dot. Spectacular. But even with the game going the way it was, I still think there were some points where you could see that there's room for growth in Lenore Sellers.
As I was saying to my wife Saturday night, imagine last year's offense with this year's defense for South Carolina.
I mean, yes.
You don't think Spencer Rattler would have done a little bit better?
I think the way I would put that is imagine Rat Daddy on this offense. Not last year's offense. Imagine Rat Daddy on this offense. No. Or Xavier Leggett on this offense.
Yeah, I would never use that term because it's weird.
Talk about Rat Daddy?
Yeah, it's not working. I know you think it's going.
It's working.
Not, no, it's not.
100%.
What?
100%.
With two people?
No, there's also the texter who coined it. That's three.
Okay, all right.
And Keegan saying it the other day at the bar. That's four.
Come on, don't be a follower, man.
We're all in on
don't
the Rat Daddy wagon.
Don't be a follower on this thing. This thing, it's not good. It's just not.
Rat Daddy is a wagon.
Is it, dude?
It's a wagon.
It's a wagon with plenty of room on it right now.
It's a wagon. So, by the way, this isn't me kicking the legs out from underneath Lenora Sellers. He did more than enough.
You talked about that pass. I mean, the future of what, I mean, the expectations of what he can do if he continues to grow, it looks really good for the next couple of years. Can they continue to play this kind of defense the next couple of years, though?
It looks good on the assumption that Lenora Sellers is going to keep getting better.
Hey, did you know that if the SEC championship happened today, it would be Texas A&M versus LSU?
I didn't know that.
Texas A&M is 4-0 in conference. LSU is 3-0 in conference. On top of the SEC. So Georgia and Texas would not play for the SEC championship.
Oh, we're coming to Georgia and Texas. Specifically you, Kirby Smart. Specifically you, Longhorn fans. When it comes to South Carolina and what I saw this weekend, defensively, that's what we've been waiting for. Do not let them sit here and do what I think a lot of hosts are going to do today and try to knock down the impressiveness of that win because Oklahoma's not that good. And they're not, just so we're clear. But that doesn't take away from the fact that you went in there, you punched them directly in the junk, and you made them play your football game. I will say this. I don't love only a field goal in the second half. I don't love that it felt to me like you weren't coming for blood in the second half. I don't love that it feels like you got uber conservative in the second half for no reason when what you were doing put up 32 points in the first half and then you just stopped. But you had the ability to do that because you put up 32 points in the first half. We're going to talk more about this game. We'll talk Clemson and Virginia coming up. John Blau at 8:40. ESPN's Marty Smith at 9 o'clock. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. It's the Fan Upstate. Lonzo made me sad during the break. I'm kind of bummed out now. I'm not going to lie. Like, I was pretty juiced for a Monday show. Lonzo was like, let me ruin that for you. I mean, Lonzo didn't do it, but.
Well, I didn't have to say it. I didn't, you know, because obviously you hadn't thought of it. Now I put it in your brain, and now you're going to be thinking about it all the time.
Because I'm a worst-case scenario guy.
Yeah, uh-huh. I've met you.
Got an email during the break. That said that, unfortunately, Marty Smith is not going to be able to make it today. He got put on assignment and is on an airplane. They thought that he was going to be somewhere in time to be able to pop on at 9 a.m., but unfortunately, the flight schedule that they have him on is not going to put him in a place where he can join the show today. I did get a promise that we would be able to reschedule this and that Marty would end up joining us hopefully sometime maybe later this week. But he got put on assignment, and once they got to the airport and got on the flight, it's not going to work out today, unfortunately. So no Marty Smith today. Now, for those of you that have followed the show for any length of time, you know that there's one other situation that's played out. And that is about, God, I guess it's been about 2 years now. Year and a half, 2 years ago, I was at a, you know what, I'm going to say it because there's no shame in my game. I was at a Star Wars metal cover band show, a band called Galactic Empire, of which I'm a big fan. They play Star Wars music from the movies, but heavy metal style. It's fantastic. And as I was standing over there, absolutely vibing to a heavy metal version of Darth Vader's theme song, The Imperial March, I look over, and P1 buddy of the show, Keegan, taps me on the shoulder, and he goes, "Is that Ryan McGee?" And it sure as hell was. Now Ryan's a big nerd. We know that already, right? He's got his little laptop when they do Marty and McGee has a Captain America sticker on it. And he's got nerd stuff hanging on the walls. And I'm like, I'll be damned it is. And he's from here. He's from the upstate. So I'm like, I'll be damned it is. And I went over and talked to him. And I'm like, what's up, bud? Great to meet you. Hope all is well. I do sports talk in the air. And McGee sat there at that show. And he talked to me and Keegan and our buddy Andrew, talked to us for like 10, 12 minutes, just kicking the bleep with us a little bit, man. Talking to us about what we did and where we're from the air, asked a bunch of questions about the show and allowed me to ask him questions about his career and all that. He was phenomenal. And I said at the end, I'm like, hey, man, I'd love to have you on my show one day. And he goes, absolutely no problem. And he goes, here's my phone number. Shoot me a text. I'm like, great. So I texted him. And it wasn't like that weird thing where it's like, yeah, here's my number. And then you go home and you call the number and it's like,
thank you for calling Bob's House of Pizza and Pornography.
Ah, oh, fake number crap. He took
wow,
it, texted me back.
That was a weird thing to go with.
It's a joke. Okay. I don't actually know if there's a Bob's House of Pizza and Pornography. I assume there is somewhere, right?
Maybe it's just they keep that part in the back.
Killed two birds with one stone.
Okay. All right.
So Texted him. He texted me back. I'm like, I'll get with you. He's like, absolutely. And we texted back and forth for like a couple of days about getting it set up. And it was during football season. So he's like, dude, it's kind of at the whim of the schedule. I'm like, yeah. And then it just kind of fell apart, unfortunately. I've reached out a couple of times, just haven't been able to make it work out. And now Marty Smith was supposed to join us at 9, got a text. Hey, man, he's on assignment. He's got to get on an airplane. Unfortunately, he's not going to be able to make it today, but we'll reschedule. And as we're sitting in the break, and I tell Lonzo, hey, got to cancel the Marty Smith interview. We'll reschedule it for down the line. Lonzo goes, maybe Marty and McGee just don't like you that much. And like, I know it's a joke, but also it made me a little sad. It really did, because I'm a big fan. I don't think that's what happened here. I genuinely think during football season, these guys are everywhere. They're on game day. They got their own show. They're on the SEC network. They're freaking everywhere. And the schedule is absolutely hectic. I'm aware of that. And I got no question at all that, yeah, Marty Smith's on a plane right now flying to wherever game day is deciding on going next week to get his feature stuff lined up and get ready for Saturday and all that. And that's all well and good. But Lonzo said, hey, Rob, you ever consider the fact that maybe they think you suck and they just don't like you?
It'd really be messed up if he was on a flight to Clemson.
Dude, that would be infuriating. Watch him next week. Like, yeah, we spent the week in Greenville, South Carolina. We went back to where Ryan's from. We're just hanging out in his hometown of the Berg, Spartanburg, South Carolina.
Catch me out tonight on Wire to Wire.
I can't. Wait, why don't you wake up and choose violence today?
It is Monday.
Yeah, it is Monday. Speaking of it being Monday, you know what Monday is. It's Overreaction Monday. So, kids, I'm looking for your overreactions today. I'm looking for your overreactions from the football weekend. I got a handful that I'll get to you. Number one, that was from Ole Miss to Alabama to Oklahoma. Great one. This is the most development, the most progress we have seen under Shane Beamer for any three-game span anywhere in his years at the helm of the Gamecocks. I think this team has gotten mo better from Ole Miss to Alabama to Oklahoma. I think we have seen a more improved version of Gamecock football over that three-week span than any three-week span from Shane Beamer's entire tenure in Columbia. You go back and rack your brain for any of the year one, year two. Is there any three-game span where, and this is just for me, but is there any three-game span where your view of the program and the product that they put on the field feels like it had an upward trajectory like it does right now? Because for me, it does not. Right now, it feels to me as if this program has raised its stock more from Ole Miss to Oklahoma than in any three-week span since he's been there. And I was blown away. I was doing Bet for the Cycle the last 2 weeks, doing Bet for the Cycle during the end of the Alabama game, doing Bet for the Cycle during the Oklahoma game. And it got to the point that we just started talking South Carolina. I made the nation. I want you all to know, I made the nation listen to me talk about South Carolina football for like 12 minutes because of that game this weekend.
Wow, that's power.
Yeah, it is pretty. I'm not going to lie. I went to my head a little bit. Dex, like, we got World Series talk. I'm like, yeah. But hear me out. 21-0 Gamecocks. 21-0 South Carolina. But
it's how it happened and how fast it happened.
I was like, legit.
It was like 5 minutes. Yeah.
We were doing a segment when the game started. And for those of you that haven't seen the Bro Cave, I've got my little studio set up where I stream, and I got two TVs on the wall above that, and then I have two computers, right? So I got three football games going on the TVs ahead of me, and then I got the 70-inch off to my left. And the 70-inch, I usually put, you know, whatever the big game of that window is, or I go with the YouTube TV 4 multi-view thing. So I had it on the multi-view, and we're doing a segment. And I, you know, I'm the college football guy on the show, so I'm like, all right, coming up here, we got so-and-so in Oklahoma, South Carolina, and Clemson, Virginia, and we got this, and then, and then we do a segment talking about the, you know, the NLCS or whatever. We do a segment, finish the segment, turn around, look at the TV, and it was like this, though. Like, I look at the TV, and then I had to, like, do a classic television double take. Like, that. Oh, somebody at ESPN screwed up. It's supposed to be, I guess, 2-0, and it's 21-0. Somebody done screwed up. And then I turn back around, and I'm like, wait a minute. That's a replay of a pick six. Again?
It's one of those things when you're watching, and I was watching, you just start laughing. Like, are you serious? Did they really just do that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
It was impressive.
Yeah, it was.
So I turn around the deck, and I'm like, yo, go Cox. This is incredible. By the way, there is nothing funnier in the world than when I told Cody Decker, if you're talking South Carolina football, you're allowed to say go Cox on the radio, and he lost his mind. He's like, wait, Odyssey can't fire me for this? No, why would they? We're talking South Carolina Gamecock football. That's the name of the team. Let's go. So at that point, it turned into a solid 8 minutes of Gamecock football on national radio, all right? That's what your team's done in 3 weeks. Your team went. Then we had, by the way, we had a college football guest on, a national writer, the next segment. And I open with, hey, South Carolina's up 21-0 on Oklahoma right now. Does this say more about Oklahoma or South Carolina? And he said, it says the exact same about both of them. Yeah, it says that OU is not as good as OU was expected to be. He goes, but the fact that South Carolina is in their house the week after they got embarrassed by Texas and is not just beating them, but is doing this to them, that tells me that Shane Beamer may have found a switch and flipped it. May have found a little something and turned it on a little bit. It's not just me that was saying that. It's not just me that believes that. We had national folks on our show Saturday that were like, yeah, we should spend a few minutes talking South Carolina. This is the most improvement I have seen in any three-week span during Shane Beamer's entire time in Columbia, South Carolina. That's my hot take. I want yours. It is overreaction Monday. Texas said, Rob, as a Florida State fan, we suck so bad, we should release the whole team and coaching staff and start over. Lonzo, things aren't great down in Tallahassee. Friday night, they fall to the Duke Blue Devils. Florida State had an Undertaker at WrestleMania streak going. They were 23-0 against Duke. And now Manny Diaz has put the one in 23-1. Florida State, speaking of one, that's how many wins they have. It's week 8. They have one win. Sorry, going into week 9. They have one win. Yeah, it's not good. It's not good for you there, Florida State fan Texter. You're correct. Texter said uncooked hot dogs are better. No, they're not. That's just objectively false. Objectively false.
I love that they're joining in with me on just having fun with you.
I now acknowledge that people eat uncooked hot dogs like sociopaths, but to say that they are better than a grilled hot dog is flat out bull.
Yeah, you hadn't heard of that before until we brought it up.
Correct.
It's no difference than eating bologna out of the package.
Sure. I am even willing to acknowledge that's a thing people do. I don't like it. I don't accept it. I think you're psychopaths, but I accept that people do it. But to say that that's better than a cooked hot dog is lunacy. That's psychopathic behavior.
When you're hungry, who wants to wait?
Texas said I had to look up Galactic Empire. 100% hooked. They are awesome. They are awesome. They're so good. I will spread the good word of Galactic Empire here on the show. It is a Star Wars heavy metal cover band. And by the way, they play here all the time. They played here like 2 months ago, and I think they're coming back in like January, February. Texter, next time they're in town, shoot me a text. I'll go with you. That's how fantastic they are. All right, we got to run to a break, top of the hour. And when we come back here in just a minute, water cooler cheat sheet, top 3 stories you need to know. Unless you're a Panthers fan, then it's top 2 stories you want to know, and also the results of the Carolina Panther game. That's coming up next after Lonzo absolutely seduces you with this sports flash.
That's an overreaction. The World Series is set after the LA Dodgers eliminated the New York Mets last night, winning 10-5 and taking the series 4-2. The Dodgers will represent the National League against the American League New York Yankees in the World Series, which begins Friday night in LA. The new AP Top 25 is dropped, with the Oregon Ducks securing the top spot for the first time in 12 years. The Ducks are followed by Georgia, Penn State, Ohio State, and Texas in the top five, with Miami, Tennessee, LSU, Clemson, and Iowa State rounding out the top 10. I'm sorry, Clemson. Alabama falls to 15. Boise State claims 17. Army and Navy are 23 and 24. And Vanderbilt makes their first appearance since 2013 at number 25. And make sure you tune in this Friday at 7 p.m. as the Burns Rebels head to Spartanburg to take on the Vikings. It's Burns versus Spartanburg right here on your home for Burns Rebels football, the Fan, Upstate.